atomic, gigantic vacation was a sweeping Japan nation when along came a dude with an ultra attitude, a common rider who's the greatest kicker of Japan and of all men. Last too short now, baby. To not talk big now, baby.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Kaiju Conversation. I'm your host, Elijah. For this, you are getting a bonus episode. Now, this bonus episode isn't anything shocking. This is actually an old recording back from 2020. So this is old ET. You'll get to hear me with a higher pitch voice. Lovely. But this is the audio commentary for Reptilian, directed by Shim Hung Rae. This was for Kaiju Quarantine 2 Trash Mountain. In here you have a few fellow podcasters riffing and talking about the movie and me spouting out facts about it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope to, in the future, come back to this film and address it, as I will in this episode make an argument for why it is the room of kaiju films. But you know what? I hope you enjoy it. Reptilian is a special film for me. And without further ado, here we go. The audio commentary track for Reptilian from Kaiju Quarantine 2 Trash Mountain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the commentary for Youngeri, or Reptilian. I am Elijah Thomas from Kaiju Conversation, and joining me today, my friends, Rob, how are you?
Hi there, I'm Rob from Tokyo Lives.
And Travis, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I am Travis from the Kaiju Weekly podcast.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Zero Nine Entertainment. Okay, good.
It's a pleasure to have both of you for this commentary. It's a special commentary for Kaiju Quarantine. And so, do you just want to talk a little bit about your first thoughts on the movie? I know Travis hasn't seen it yet, but Rob?
Sure. I love this movie. Someone said earlier that it was the room of kaiju films, and I deeply agree. It is extremely cheesy and hammy, and the acting is just like all over the place. It's a primo film for trash cinema. The CGI is a pain. But like once you get past that, the sheer ridiculousness of like the plot and like the clear like edits where they just like stopped filming one movie and made another movie and then tried to splice them together without any kind of continuity and then changed their mind again and made a third movie. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so sweaty.
And I do want to clarify, I have seen this movie, but it has just been a very long time. I watched this movie when it first aired on television in the States back probably in 2001 or whenever it was, or 99. And so, that's the last time I've seen it.
Oh.
Well, hello there, crazy old guy. This film was directed by Shim Hung Rae, or as if you're watching it with us, Hung Rae Shim, as he sometimes went by. As you can see, it's starring Harrison Young, who played the old Private Ryan in Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. And soon we're going to have Donna Phillipson, that really didn't do anything other than this movie, and Richard B. Livingston from Cocktail.
Ah, yes, Cocktail.
No, nice.
Classic kaiju film starring a giant chicken. Yes, I'm a big fan of that one. By the way, this dude is the best actor in the movie. The evil, like, scientist man in this is genuinely one of my favorite actors, and I'm so sad that he hasn't done more.
I so totally agree with you there.
I think he's done like some TV shows or something, but like that's it.
I think so. Most of these guys haven't really done much.
Don't you hear that?
Okay, that guy reminds me of like a Homer Simpson or something.
Look at the face acting.
The face is something.
We've gone too far to turn back now.
The point too.
slowly aiming his face. Oh, God. It's just such good stuff. So hey, so good. This scene is extremely important, like what happens to the old man here, and then it is not brought up other than in one line of dialogue later. So you miss the entire narrative of this old man's like story because they don't actually show it or record it or really say it.
Yeah, they do kind of forget a lot of this opening.
Okay.
Also, real quick, why would you use an axe when you're mining?
You know, like... listen, we've all played Animal Crossing. We've all had to mine with shovels. Oh, man. Immediately skeletons. Oh, remember Terminator 2? Yeah.
But the direct... Oh, did you have something you wanted to say, Rob?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh. I was going to say the director, Shim Hung Ray, he was born February 21st, so he just had his birthday about a month ago in 1958 and is currently 62 years old.
Oh, man, I can't wait for D-Wars 2.
Me too.
Oh, okay, you want to talk about a film I love. I love D-Wars. I heard the Tokyo Lives episode on it, and I was in your corner the entire time, Rob, because it seemed like nobody else enjoyed that film.
It's a good film. It's just also very bad.
It's right, exactly. But there's so much that went into that film that it's just like, oh, you just have to respect it.
What if we just randomly started coming up with like new plot elements to add as the story keeps going?
Right.
That's exactly what happens.
No joke, I do really love the like letters forming out of the like weird alien language. I think it's
This is like the best special effects of this entire thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is like where the budget went. Never before have I seen a budget poured entirely into the credit sequence of a movie, and yet here we are. Oh, young Harrison Ford was in this movie. Wow.
I think his name's going to pop up, but Shim Hung Ray actually wrote, directed, and I believe produced this film as well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange that he did all of that, you know.
Well, he, like, you know his backstory, right? Like, he's like a famous comedian in South Korea who loves, like, dinosaur and giant monster movies and wanted to be, like, a serious, like, filmmaker in Korea and or in South Korea. And then he was like, I know, I'll make Godzilla again. You know, the one from 98. I'm a serious actor.
So I've known about this movie for, you know, for a long time, but I never realized that this was a Yongary remake, quote unquote.
It has nothing to do. The vibe is totally different. The story is totally different. Nothing really matches up with the original. He could have just called it Reptilian from the get-go. I wonder if it was just name recognition, maybe?
Yeah. Nathan, I didn't get to see D-Wars in theater like you, but I do remember renting D-Wars from Blockbuster, so that is how old we are.
Actually, technically, this was the second time Shim had actually, quote-unquote, worked with Yongary. In his 1993 film, Yonggu and Dinosaur Zuzu, from 1993.
Oh, wow.
The monster
potato
in it,
ship.
I know, right? But the monster in Yonggu was basically Yongary.
Oh, huh.
So did we switch over to watching the opening scene to Predator? What is going on here?
No, we switched over to the opening scene of Fifth Element, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just Contact myself.
I'll be important to the plot later.
Totally.
Power's out again.
Oh, man. We just got a new Transformer 2.
It's like, did you forget to pay the bill again?
But throughout production, Shim actually was very difficult to get along with. Some people had even described him as a dictator during production.
It's an even older Ed Harris.
I love this villain guy's plot because A, he stops appearing after this opening scene, and B, his like big idea to get rid of like this guy that he doesn't like is to have him report on a dinosaur thing. Anyway, goodbye.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting your facts, Elijah, with riffs.
I mean, I think this film both gives us good facts and riffs, so it makes sense that they would coincide.
Love the bottle of tequila on the nightstand. That's a good sign.
But, you know, Reptilian or Young Gary, when it was released, was actually the beginning of a quote-unquote new wave of Korean films.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange for how horrible of a rep this film actually gets nowadays.
Well, it's kind of like the beginning of their big cinema movement, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, right towards the beginning of it. I mean, we got some great, like, K-action out of this, or after this. I'm trying to remember the names of any of them. There was like a while where I was renting a bunch of like really bizarre like action movies that were all like almost The Matrix.
I mean, I imagine a lot of their movies are like that. Excuse me, do you know where the nearest bathroom is? So I guess to start off, we should probably quickly state production on this film actually started March 17th of 1995. That's 4 years before its initial release, and that would have been 6 years until it actually got released worldwide. And somebody brought up the aliens. They were actually originally supposed to be floating brains, but
the writer
he was hired, and he's like, that's going to be awful. No.
Fry, brain make people dumb. No, Leela, brain make people smart. So this reporter character just looks like they merged Nick Tatopoulos and his girlfriend from the 98 film into one character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, exactly. 100%.
It's weird how this movie started production around the time the original idea for the TriStar Godzilla was scrapped, and yet it's almost exactly the same as 98, but less good, I guess you could say.
50 times bigger than a T-Rex? Well, you kidding me? Oh my god! Every character's line is so memorable. You could clip any bit of audio from this entire movie, and it would just be perfect sound bites for anything and everything.
Yeah, much. Barbecue nerd. This is the answer to that question. Is yes.
Yeah.
Is it a dinosaur movie or an alien film? It's yes.
It's funny you brought up how their lines were awful, but what's interesting is the way they filmed it was they filmed everything according to their screenplay. So everything was filmed from the screenplay itself, from the beginning to the end of the film. And what they did was, if there was a cut, like if it was a close-up of one guy and then a close-up of another, and it came back to the guy you already had a close-up of, they would record the 3 seconds of footage of the one guy saying, "Oh my God!" And then they would move all of their equipment, and then they would record the guy walking in saying, "Hey, it's me!" And then they would cut. And they
tear everything down. Oh my god. This literally is the room of kaiju movie. Oh, it's amazing.
And the first thing they did film was the cave sequence. So that was
they filmed it all in order.
oh, Varan fan, I love that. You're tearing me apart, youngery.
So, and you know, when you think about it, and Rob, I think you have a little bit of expertise with amateur filmmaking. Sometimes people, whenever they do amateur filmmaking, they do just go buy the script, they'll film it, and then that's what it reminds me of, is like an amateur film with a $9 million budget.
Absolutely.
I did not mute it. I did not. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I just had... Oh, hi, Pogosabi. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you guys.
No. It's all good, man.
Rob, what were you going to say? Something about amateur films?
Yeah. So, I mean, I did dumb film stuff, actually, with another member of the Tokyo Lives podcast well before we were doing, like, the podcast together. There is, like, the big problem with, like, filming in chronological order is, like, availability. But, like, if you have money to just, like, throw at the project over and over and over again, then, like, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask.
Do we need to turn
volume on the?
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna ask.
We're gonna turn up that volume a wee bit, and while we're waiting on that, I'm trying to see. So we haven't really got to Young Gary yet, so I'll keep those fun facts lit for that. But Reptilian was really the first film pushed to a worldwide audience, especially in the West, with these English actors. And I find that interesting how, again, this is one of the kaiju films in the genre, but yet it had such a huge, like, growth for South Korea at this time. Talking about production and stuff, the film... They're dead. That's a great question.
Oh, another pair of bodies. Well, oh, this sequence.
I love how, you know, property damage anybody. you know, speaking of dictators, this guy that leads the dig, isn't he basically a dictator? Let's be honest here. Like, don't take any photos unless I tell you, you know. And I love how he comes
up. It's fine. It's just some wires in the ground. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. There's no OSHA here.
And another interesting about this, especially these sequences, is the weather. They had to keep the lighting just right. And another thing they did is they filmed it in chronological order, but they also had, they filmed it, but it was like they would waste film. They would do, like, if somebody was saying, "Oh my God," the director would say, "This is a test," and they would end up saying, "Oh my God," like 20 times before they would actually film it.
Oh my God.
Wow.
One more time. I want more passion. We don't need multiple takes. We need just one perfect take.
And due to that, some actors, like, they were there. And they were supposed to be there originally for 8 days only. They had 8 days to film the movie. But between all of the weather delays and the difficult time the director gave them while filming, it ended up taking about 20 days. 30 days. 20 night shoots at like 4 in the morning. So,
wow.
people at 4 a.m. are going to be like, oh my God, it's young Gary. Instead of like, oh my God, it's young Gary. and they had about 11 day shoots, which is what we mostly have here.
So I just learned a fact about this movie. The reporter character's name is Bud Black. Mm-hmm. What? Bud Black. That is an awesome name.
I love the dialogue in this. A $2 crap game.
It's super hammy, like clearly written to emulate American like style action movie lines without actually having the context for American action movie lines, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like,
that's what makes this so good.
Also, I love how they deployed their troops, but what are they deploying them for? You're not going to shoot an alien spaceship with a tank from outer space.
And they spent a tremendous amount of budget on this movie, just on the liquor budget, as you can see demonstrated in this scene, brought to you in part by Bud Light.
And it's funny you bring up the budget, because originally the budget was about, after companies such as Hyundai and Korea Technology Finance Corporation, and even the Korean government pitched in money, it was about $6.5 million, twice the Zordon. Average cost.
Rangers!
I'm looking for teenagers with
attitude. Jason X. Rangers, I've been turned into a small toy.
I want aliens. Took those straight from
Bring
Power
me
Rangers.
Three kaiju with attitude. Just three.
But they can't be too tall, or I don't want them. They have to be at least 200 meters tall, but they can't be 201.
I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
Speaking of aliens, or let's see. So the aliens, when they initially were designing everything, it actually took them like 3 months to design everything.
This scene is so good because he's like, oh, what happened to the cute girl? You know, whatever her name was. And he's like, she's no longer with us. And immediately his response is, what, she died too? Like, at this point, death is so common on this dig site that it's just like, yeah, you know, listen, another dead body. This is horrifying. Oh, this is my favorite scene. I'm also so confused by what exactly happens. So I want this to play out, and then I'm going to ask you some questions because I don't understand. Okay. Is young Gary a vampire? Because his teeth shot out, I assume, through that man, and then the blood came back on the teeth into young Gary's jaw. And then, oh wait, by the way, remember when we destroyed some film earlier? Listen. Let's do that scene again, but with more energy.
Did you know that carelessness counts for 99.9% of accidents?
Yeah. Listen, it's just another, I imagine he like looks around and he's like, listen, it was another electrical problem. Just dispose of the body, everyone. Nothing to see here.
I love his reaction there. I take photographs. Such passion. Do it again.
What are your rules? Your rules seem to be changing. You want the guy on site, like on site constantly. The dinosaur is mostly out at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I never understood, like, why does he not want him to take photos of the dinosaur?
Well, of the dead body. He doesn't want the dead bodies being photographed.
We've
seen him take pictures of the dinosaur once when he first arrived, and then that was it. Okay, so for everyone listening in the out in the Ethernet or whatever, whoever listens to this currently and later, pay really close attention to the narrative that we're building up about what is going on with this mad scientist who's like clearly just a geologist who is just digging up a skeleton. That is it. I mean, he's murderous and crazy, but aside from that, he is a no science other than digging up a body. So just remember that, because it'll be important in about 20 minutes here.
You know, I'm really
curious. We found another body.
We found another body. That's impossible. We disposed of it. I mean, that's just a helmet.
Did Kyle bump up the volume on the movie, or?
Yeah, I say he bumped up a little bit. If anyone else needs it more, I can shoot him another text.
I don't know how long it took, but they actually built a full Youngeri skeleton for these scenes. And I guess whenever the lighting wasn't right, like it wasn't, it was too, the sun was out too much, they actually put up like these two poles and they wrapped like this dirty plastic like wrap over the filming location. And I guess it worked out perfectly. And then that's what they filmed under, was a plastic dirty like wrap of some sorts.
Yeah. Oh, hey, this is a scene where her British accent stops.
Yeah. And I guess the reason why she was cast was because she could do a good English accent. But until, like you said, until now, her British accent's been going. So, they haven't really shown this yet. But there was during the
filming.
I'm just telling
Kyle to blast the audio. Everyone, hold on. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, nothing changed.
Yeah, because I had my volume turned down a lot during Ghidorah, and this one I have it turned all the way up, and it's still really, really quiet, yeah, even for me.
This is a low quality YouTube rip.
Oh, okay.
So,
was that a really weird smash cut? Because that just seemed like it jumped.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Plays it like it's like a spooky bad guy, but in fact, it is not.
So, I didn't really understand. So this is filmed in Korea, but takes place in, is it Nevada? I'm guessing it's Nevada.
Yes? I actually don't know for sure where it's taking place.
I think they say like Youngeri's heading towards California, and like on the map you can see Nevada, I think.
Howdy, my name is Darlene, and I work at this bar here in Nevada.
Oh, in Utah. Hey guys, just remember, Youngeri passed the Bechdel test, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everyone.
So
hi. This guy is definitely a stalker.
Can we talk for a bit?
My name's...
Listen.
He's like old man Jenkins from down the street.
My name's Private Ryan. A man told me to make it worth it. I don't know what that means to this very day. But I made it my life's journey to hunt down kaiju.
What's funny about at least the setting of the scene is during production, like every night they would take the American actors out and they would party like at random bars.
Wow.
That's Korean culture, baby.
And I guess they Bar got life. Drunk every night. They just got...
He looks it.
He's got great crazy eyes.
I thought that was his natural look.
That's his hair.
Well, it's probably just the way he looks, but it is great crazy eyes. Just resting crazy face.
You think I'm crazy? Listen to me.
I've found something else in that cave. It was my ex.
Corona. I just realized there's a Corona advertisement behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. This brought the end upon us with the virus.
Oh, too gosh. Soon.
Yeah, wow. Oh, God. What have we done?
Okay, am I the only one when I hear Campbell, I'm thinking, is Bruce Campbell in this
yes.
movie?
Yes, it makes me want, I want that so bad.
And I love, like, these random people who come in, they deliver some dialogue, and they're like, I got my paycheck.
Hi there. I used to love you. I thought we had something. I mean, there's aliens.
I've now seen this movie 3 times. I do not remember this scene ever happening.
It's all about the aliens. And may I just say, like, he has so much evidence here. Like, and he was known to be a good scientist. Like, other than the fact he disappeared and all of a sudden reappeared.
No, it's even better than that. He disappears and goes to talk to, quote, a shaman, and then comes back with, like, this knowledge of what these aliens are. But that isn't even explained here. They explain it, like, towards the end of the movie.
Wait, he went and saw a shaman to learn about the aliens? And that wasn't included in the movie?
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
And then then he's like, well, after I went, after I found the stuff, I went to the government, and then I was classified. What about the shaman?
I didn't read this.
Clearly, what that paper holds is clear evidence. Like,
this is just a picture of, this is just a meme. This is just that meme cat. Why'd you give me this? All right, it's probably one of these other notes here. Hold on. I was drinking really late last night. She's just reading the script. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. It's not this scene, but there's actually some scenes, I don't know if they were cut, but the old guy is wearing a dress shirt with that pocket, even that, I think that jacket has it, but what he did was, his script is literally in his pocket, and after every cut, he would pull it out and read it, and then he would put it back in that pocket. And just do the 3 seconds. Oh my God!
They couldn't do it like Marlon Brando from Island of Dr. Moreau and just give him an earpiece.
Line. I like the idea that he would stop halfway through. I changed my mind. I want to go with you now.
I love his realization.
Wait a minute. This is kind of nuts.
And I guess in the Tarantino, hold up, I didn't know we were referencing him.
Whoa, it's night time. Oh.
I seriously thought he was talking to himself.
Hi. Discovery. He refers to it as a discovery here, so... Buddy? Pal? Amigo?
Compadre?
Is it just me? You and I? Or is there a lot of sexual tension between us?
It's getting a little steamy in here, man. The Bounds. I love their accents.
That's a good point. It's like, this is the greatest discovery. You know, we just met aliens.
You see? I thought they said they uncovered the remaining bones. Look at him. He's still just halfway in the dirt. Oh, well, whatever.
I guess in the original story, Bud was going to be the villain. And I guess that's what it is in the original version. Like, Bud is the villain, but they cut all that out.
Bud was supposed to be the villain?
Yes.
Yeah, what?
So, after young Gary wakes up, he literally disappears. We forget about him. But in the original movie, what they do is... Bud then travels to the caves, and then, like, the aliens, like, knock him out. And then, like, he goes crazy, like, I have all the info. I'm gonna reveal this to the world. And he goes, like, psychopathic.
That line is so good.
It's beginning.
Oh, yes. Here you go, baby. This is where the film goes from, like, a 6 out of 10 to a 12 out of 10 and does not stop.
It has begun.
What the heck? And she screams, no.
Yeah. And then, like... and then she dodges it. It's fine.
You know, the transformation in the original, that actually looks a lot better.
It's so slurpy.
Yeah. And now it's breathing. It's alive. It's alive.
You know what I love? The most exciting fact about this movie is that originally they were going to have, like, you know, actual suitmation. And then he was like, no, listen to me. This movie needs to be like a professional.
It is a real. Has been fulfilled. I love
that. The prophecy has been fulfilled.
What?
What makes you think that?
We gotta go.
And I love how it, like, he steps on them, but he clearly goes over them.
Blap. Yes.
I guess the original build was 1 meter tall. I measure.
Where are you getting this?
Anyway, did you see that? That was the last scene that we're going to see Bud in.
Oh.
Bud passes out and then leaves the movie. Rip Bud.
Oh, wow.
Rip in peace, bud.
But,
anyway, welcome to film 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
The best actor is gone. That's the number one reason to watch the movie, is how bad he is.
Okay, so the guy who's talking right now, not the old guy, but the younger guy. I swear he's like a knockoff, like Bill Paxton or something.
Oh, yeah. Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton? No, sorry, it's a bad joke. But yeah, so literally the reason that they went with this extremely bad CGI is that the director was like, no, I need this to be like a real American movie, a big, awesome, like CGI power fest, because that's what we're all doing now. We all do CGI. Scrap the suits. Go with the CGI instead. It's so good. Oh my God, you just love to see it. Yes.
I got
here.
Here
we go.
That's just like... And I love how he just walks in and he's like, okay, I know everything. We're under attack. They're aliens. We're going to... I'm going to get on the comps. We're going to send those fighter jets. And I'm like, where's everybody else? Because wouldn't there be like seven people, or more than seven people in that room, like right now?
Yes.
The middle of the dead-eyed look.
Wait a minute.
If you can't.
I love that like line delivery, because again, it comes across as the kind of thing you would write in a like sci-fi movie, but like taken without like the context of like what's usually used in these kinds of movies.
You should take a look at this, sir. It's a giant turd.
I love the flat bodies. Oh.
A giant dinosaur.
I mean, you did explain it earlier, just a few minutes ago.
Just say it again. Just say that, but again.
It's a giant dinosaur.
With visual aids.
Giant dinosaur attacking our boy. So, like I said.
Commander Boom Boom.
Yeah,
yes.
Boom Boom.
Whoa.
Hi, it's me, Commander Boom Boom. They won't be important plot at all. I just wanted to introduce their names.
Yeah, they
goodbye.
Get an attack force, man. So, like I said earlier, a couple of different companies actually helped fund the film, because it did go over its budget. Even the Korean government put in some money into the production of it. It was 6.5
million. Yeah, the Nevada-California border. There we go.
There we go. It was actually twice the average cost of a normal Korean film when it first started. I love that. That's so awesome.
Guys, where is that stock footage from? Someone has to know. There's no way that is like made for this movie.
I think it was. It's either that or Independence Day.
It looks so familiar, you know?
Yeah.
Sergeant Pew Pew.
But after the film gained more backing in 1998 at the Cannes Film Festival, its budget increased to $9 million, which was three times the amount of a normal Korean film. And in today's money, that would be $14 million approximately. Which
that is what I wanted to know. $14 million to make this? What a steal!
Yeah,
guys,
that's...
From now on, can we like... limit the budget of movies from now on, just like put a hard cap on how much movies cost, because like we've truly destroyed the ability for brought to you in part by CDR. We've truly destroyed our ability to make like movies. Everything has to cost several billion dollars and then make double that back.
And honestly, most of the money came from like licensing it out to other countries. That's where it got most of its budget.
Ah, That's amazing. But that's the thing. It's like you'd think there'd be like product placement all over it, like Sonic.
Yeah. Theater,
like product placement. But no, it's literally going off the brand of being a young Gary film. Like there's a commercial that someone sent out. To
they us. Have integrity, Rob.
Was it Jira that posted it? A commercial for young Gary's like special fried chicken, like chicken.
Oh, meat. Yeah.
And like I was watching that and I was just like, this is amazing. And there's a young Gary toy. Ah, I want to get that really bad.
I do too. So badly.
The foot is right in front of the car. And she's like, I can't see. Where is it?
It's because it's CG, guys. You got to put it in
understand.
Post.
I understand.
But, What's interesting is in 1998, it did get actually postponed or halted because it went over budget, which was at that time $6.5 million.
Oh, what? How much did it go over?
It was $6.5 million and it broke its budget.
I misunderstood. I thought you said that they had $14 million to work with and that they spent $65 million on it. And I was about to lose my mind.
They had, I believe it was, they had $6.5 million. And then...
It's beautiful. Do you think it exfoliates?
It smells so old. I love that.
What the heck?
That's me you're talking about, and I don't appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I just let out a fart.
It's trying to communicate with us.
It smells so old.
Here's round one, baby. CGI helicopters from old PlayStation 1 games.
Actually, those were given to the production team by the Korean government.
Oh. But those three that just passed were definitely CGI.
I think they were renders of the Korean helicopters.
Oh, I see.
They gave them the helicopters, the fighter jets, and then they allowed them to film in a museum that no other film had been allowed to film in. I just said film a lot. If you're listening to this, as every time we say film... Drink.
Don't. Listen. We did that joke in the past. We lost some good fans back in the day after watching Ape. And, I guess everything's okay, though.
I'm real sorry about doubting you.
I'm sorry, Doc. You know me. Superstitious Frank, that's what they call me.
My dog has now walked up to my desk and is hiding his head on my knee. I think he's getting too scared by the movie.
I mean, Young Gary looks pretty realistic.
Yeah. It's these hyper-realistic graphics and the really effective green screening tech that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know how back in like the 1800s when they had the first film of the train coming down the tracks and people ran out of the theater because they were so scared that it was actually going to hit them? That's what I'm feeling right now with this movie.
The perfect crime, driving a train through a theater. Some good stock explosion dot GIF.
Gotta love those stock explosions.
I'm sorry, GIF. I should probably pronounce it correctly.
Yes.
Stop hitting me. Oh, my gut.
Fire again. Keep firing.
We gotta stand up and fight. Captain, it's Young Gary, sir.
Okay, so let's start going through the list of things they throw at Young Gary. List number one, helicopters. Pretty ineffective so far. They've got missiles, machine guns on them. Yeah, they're classic big old military helicopters.
The military is really ineffective.
The military with the woo face.
Let's see. So they do that, and then...
Why are all of our choppers disappearing? Do they not have any kind of communication?
I got you!
Get to the chopper!
Get away from the chopper! Was that Bill from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
It did look like him. It looks like Alex Winters.
Oh my god.
We just can't stop the monster.
Wait, did you say monster? What are you saying?
No, it was a monster, not a creature. There you go.
The dramatic pause there.
I love their little hands just slap on things because did they have like fully CGI of renders of the monsters or the aliens at first? And then they had to like frantically redo the shots, or was this test footage? And they're like, later we're going to come back and make like, yeah. Okay. Budget ran out. Absolutely. I am almost positive they were originally planning to have CGI aliens. Then they were like, oh, we have no budget, so we'll just use these toys from my child's like play set of Power Ranger monsters.
Yeah. That's actually really true. What's interesting is when it was originally released in South Korea, it wasn't complete. Like, they ran out of money, and like as the film progressed, Young Gary literally starts to disappear into nothing because they could not afford to make him anymore.
Oh my god. I do love... Yes, they do absolutely look like a Guyver unit. Oh man, can we talk about Guyver for a second? Wait, no. Oh, our new bad guy's introduced. Hey, did you like the first crazy scientist? Well, guess what? We've got a new crazy scientist, except now he works for the government.
And he's got a bald spot.
Yes.
And glasses, so he's automatically a bad guy. But what I find interesting is whenever Young was originally released, even though it wasn't complete, 120,000 people saw it opening day, and it was released in 85 theaters across the country, which was a huge thing for it to do.
So, what you're saying, what you are reaching out to me to say, is that not only is this the room of kaiju films, this is the cats of kaiju films.
Yes.
This movie just gets more interesting the more I learn about it. It's evolving from like an extremely fun movie to the complex lore. There's just like, I feel like I'm in Dark Souls, and I keep finding new like items and like learning more about the Dark Souls lore of Young Gary, and it's just like, oh, what?
Oh no, we've lost Rob. He's going too deep.
I'm losing my mind. The Battlefield Earth of kaiju films as well, very much so.
And 1/3 of its production cost was spent on the effects.
Bob's
the
my uncle. Thank you very much. Not actually. Sorry, Bob's uncle's a thing that people say. Yeah, this is a bad joke. Hey, cut that one out. Can we just edit the audio out for a bit? Oh, actually, I can't. Okay, never mind. I'll just move forward. It's fine. Oh, God. This is shot like a made for TV movie, you know? Mm-hmm. It has that, like, cheap studio lighting aesthetic. All the like sets are really, really cheaply made. The camera angles are like really like blank and just like move very slowly, like back and forth. Oh
yeah. And
etching the commentary in stone. I can't really edit this one. Well,
Some kind of light force.
Power Rangers, light force. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Look at this buff scientist.
I know. I was just thinking that he is way too buff to be a scientist.
So the aliens can also teleport young Gary using their weird laser cannon, which does seem like a cop-out. Anyway, hey guys, are you ready for some action that is definitely set somewhere in California and not in Korea, definitely?
Yeah, there's totally not Korean symbols on the buildings.
How big is this alien spaceship? I can't tell if that's a perspective thing or if it's the size of the moon.
I think it's supposed to be the size of the moon.
Their little heads!
Beaten better.
Yeah.
I love the reactions.
Alex.
Alex.
Are you cutting it?
Oh.
Okay.
No.
Uh-oh.
We had a special guest appearance from Alex from Monsters vs. Men.
Hi, Alex,
and his
Monsters
family.
You guys came in at the perfect time. This is where the movie gets like turned up to, what was it, 12 earlier? Okay, it's about to turn up to like 15.
Oh yeah. Look at
this.
Oh,
is when the movie goes plaid.
Yes. They're reaching plaid speed. You jammed our radar.
I love how he shoots two bullets and he's like, oh man.
Yeah, do you guys remember the cop from Beast from 20,000 Fathoms?
Yes.
Just slowly walking towards this giant monster shooting. Oh, he has to, can't radio it in.
It's a giant lizard. That's everybody's reaction. No, I've not been drinking when they watch this movie.
Did you guys like his badge that said Los Angeles Cop, not Los Angeles Police?
Oh my goodness. Alex, we really enjoyed your cameo.
Drinking. It was good. It really helped, you know, like elevate the... Oh! The miniature effects are so good. It's so sad that we didn't get like a live action on Gary. There are people in that building.
This movie would have been so much better if it was practical effects, like for the monster. They went full tokusatsu with it. It would have been just...
Oh, absolutely. If they had to use the suits, this would be like a cinema darling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it deserves that, and I think that we do need Vinegar Syndrome to buy the rights to this and make a Blu-ray release. Ah, Oilberg, no! No! Not the old Oilberg! I loved their beef jerky.
And I think a lot of people do kind of forget. They don't look past the special effects.
Like, what are you doing here?
Look, we have a new bad guy to fill the exact same role as the last role.
Except instead of knowing Holly, he knows the old stalking, creepy old guy. A prehistoric monster? No. Totally not what's going on in California right now.
Let me touch it. I want that disc. He is Christopher Lloyd, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Budget Christopher Lloyd. Ah, San Francisco. Ah,
yeah.
Sights and sounds of San Francisco. Or Los Angeles. Oops.
Los Angeles.
I'm from Texas. It's basically the same thing.
All those wonderful California buildings with the Korean lettering on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, Rob, I really do think if they had better special effects, I think a lot of people would really like this movie.
You can sell it as a Z-tier, like, B-movie with, like, really bad acting.
Mm-hmm. But it would be better than Craw.
He's being as obvious about sneaking out as possible. Let me out of here. They just swipe the card and let him out of the building. Get him out of here!
And I love how now they're finally getting the Air Force there after like 25 minutes of destruction. And, wait, I didn't know. Isn't this stock footage from Top Gun?
Yes.
Where's the
So, okay. Hey, guys, helicopters, they didn't work. We got a lot
of to the next danger zone.
What's next? We got this, baby. This is it. This is our big moment.
This is where they
ride into the danger zone.
Oh, no, a bus full of kids.
It's the Kennys from all the movies.
It's a dinosaur.
Wow, he's coming towards us. Listen. Whoa! Oh, okay, it's fine.
And there we just got a shot of the actual suit.
Was that Steve Martin?
Amazing. Yeah.
Yay!
It's us.
This is the last.
So jazzed.
And this is the scene that they actually showed at the Cannes Film Festival in 1998 to get the international marketing. And the CG was way worse. Like, way worse.
Wow.
Young Gary was brown instead of gray, so he stuck out like a sore thumb. And I'm pretty sure the jets looked like they were from a PS2 game, legitimately.
Yeah.
Which, I would love to see them actually do a Suitmation version, because from what I learned, they always intended on doing CG, but there were a few more stop motion things, or not stop motion, Suitmation in the original. There was
Have you seen the images of the original suit?
Yes, and then I've seen the images with the wings, which I'd love to learn what those wings are for. Like, how did young Gary grow wings in the original? That's I want to know.
That's his final form.
Somehow.
Oh, man.
And if you're wondering why the explosion sequences feel familiar, they're actually the same camera that was used in the Independence Day movie, specifically for the White House explosion scene.
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's why. Punch out again!
Goose! No!
No!
I guess now I could, now that we've seen young Gary, I could kind of give you a little insight on his design and how long it took them to make it.
Yeah.
So originally it took them 3 months to design the original CG render. While designing, the chief of the art team, Oh Sun Kyo, said that the skin was the most important part of making the miniature and putting in the CG render. What they really looked at when designing the skin was actually elephants. I don't know why that was what they looked at, but that's what they thought was best for designing young Gary. As I think we've all seen the original young, we can tell that there's one huge difference in this film, that being young Gary's head was more cat-like with a smaller horn.
Oh.
Other than the head changes, it generally was the same kind of design, just a little more modern. which I don't really mind the design. I think it looks kind of cool if it had proper CG.
Well, the first time didn't work. Maybe we'll just do it again, but with less people. Anyway, here we go.
And I love how they think they're going to do something. Like, they've wasted basically all their missiles, and nothing's worked.
He takes off his mask, and he says, I'm back! What were they doing? Say what you will about the army in 98, but this these guys actively bad. Good stuff.
Nine wasn't okay, so continuity error, I think. Wasn't there like seven at most when we first saw them coming in?
More showed up. They just kept flying in. We just didn't have an established shot.
And now we have the creepy old guy giving Holly, the young female, his jacket. And I love that password. Daddy loves E.T.
That's his password.
Oh, wow. This movie just keeps giving.
You're right. It's the room of kaiju films.
Yes. It's so good.
And I one of the biggest things I do want to get across in this is the fact that the filming of this was horrible. Like, there's no doubt the way they filmed it was an amateur film. The director didn't really have an idea of what he wanted to do.
But he had money, baby.
He had money.
That's how you make a true trash film, is you have no vision, but lots of money to throw at. When?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this is like the Ed Wood of kaiju films. I mean,
the Glenn and Glinda of kaiju films.
Yes. Oh, it's quite obvious. Now
I understand everything.
We already brought up that this was the most expensive film made in Korea, right?
I believe, yes.
Alrighty. So, just to reiterate, this was, until D-Wars, which was also directed by Shim Hung Rae, this was the most expensive film in Korea.
Wow.
Until D-Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. At the time, is.
Oh, look, it fits. Look, this.
Another great light.
I love that basically they were just like, how do we move from this setup to the ending that I want? And then they just stopped and went, what if we just had the characters unravel like a new mystery that explains what's about to happen? Ah.
What is your assessment, he asks? I'm going to say slim to none.
It sounds less like they're talking about a battle strategy and more like they're talking about, like, what do you think about my marriage, Jim? Things have been feeling like they're falling apart for me, and I just don't know anymore.
Lord help us.
No.
I think that was ad-libbed. That was just his feelings on set.
That was him thinking about the movie, yeah. Okay, so helicopters. No, that didn't work. Jets, maybe? No, that was also a failure. So we got to move to the next step.
People on jetpacks.
Step, you ask?
Jetpacks.
Jetpacks.
Jetpacks. Oh.
Jetpacks! Oh, they're all so sad.
And I love how, like, this guy's giving us this, like, we will not give up without a fight. And then guy's like, I can't do this. I'm done.
I'm sorry, sir. I request
to be... I don't like this.
My mommy says I'm afraid of heights.
And I'm pretty sure that's actually one of the writers. A lot of the actors in this also were production crew members.
Who else is qualified to handle this machine gun?
Wait, so that's one of the writers.
Hi, he's like, my name's Jim.
He's like, I'm one of the writers. I'm afraid. I know how this ends.
This is the Jack Reacher of our story.
Well, I'm just an analyst, but I'm also a super kung fu guy, and I'm great at using machine guns and helicopter and jets.
Okay. So going off of that, I didn't actually know this, but Yongeri is a space monster.
Oh, like... Ghidorah. It's all wrapping back in.
And I guess the advanced alien species buried Yongeri for this exact time, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but but I mean, Yongeri is described as the perfect fighting machine, so clearly.
Yeah. Well, he's got those shoulder pads.
That's what I was just going to say. He's got the shoulder pads.
So, how tall do you think Yongeri is in this? Because he's pretty tall.
I would say he's 220 meters. That's a guess.
Travis, do you have any guesses?
I have no guesses at all. I love this.
Best line in the movie.
This Godzilla is a pussy.
But Rob was actually really Rob was close.
I was very wrong. I was just guessing.
Actually, so in the movie, technically, you're correct. Kind of.
Oh.
So, there's a height inconsistency. In the movie, they say he's 50 times the size of T-Rex. I love this. Like, they actually think they're little guns from Final Wars.
He's on fire!
No! guy...
But... technically, according to the movie, he'd be around 200 meters. However, on the DVD, it says he's 500 feet tall, 230 feet long, and weighs about 100 metric tons.
Wait, only 100 tons?
Yes.
He's filled with helium.
I shot him.
It's either 100 or 1,000. I think it might be 1,000.
1,000 seems more correct.
Yeah, 1,000 seems
lightweight.
It's only like 200 cows. Yeah, 100 tons.
I mean, he does jump pretty high.
He does. By the way, I really appreciate that, like, someone else also, like, calculates tons in cows, because That's the only way I can think of a ton.
Every time the aliens talk, every time the aliens talk, I get the Legends of the Hidden Temple vibe.
Pink iguana. Wait, no. It was purple parrots, silver snakes, blue piranhas, or purple piranhas?
I think it's purple piranhas.
Purple piranha? Oh, man.
Oh, I can't remember. It's been so long.
And orange monkeys. That one.
Yeah, orange monkeys.
I love this. Like, he's trying to act so serious, but he's... he's coming across as like Jack Nicholson right now.
Yes.
An energy beam?
Is it tracking it by an energy beam?
Yes.
Ay, 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 ay. Oh, wait, wrong alpha, sorry. Gentlemen, you can't fight here. This is a war room is definitely the quote of the movie.
Yeah.
I love, like, he's got his finger on, he's like, he's heading, let me think of my lines real quick. It's the president. I don't think he would call on some random headset. I mean, maybe
hi, it's me,
just
the president.
Me.
There's not a red phone somewhere. They could go get a phone and spray paint it red.
The atomic bomb.
My God.
Okay, oh, this is... this is exactly like Godzilla 1985.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to launch the Mazer.
Yeah.
Wait, no, nope. Wait. The rice cooker. Whatever that weird lump ship is. Oh, my God. Super,
the X.
Yeah, Super X.
Yeah, Super X. Yeah.
My brain shut down. I'm not doing well. Listen, this movie saps, like, my brain. It's and too now... engaging. You're right.
It really is. I am getting engrossed in this film.
Throw in some stock footage and we're good to go.
I love how they're just zooming on their jetpacks to wherever they're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
My only question is, when can I get one? The president just gave the order. I love how he's so sure that the atomic bomb, while everything else has failed, is going to win.
Yeah, well, okay, so his evil plan, if you missed it, is if Yongeri dies, then the aliens will have to invade the planet. And if they invade the planet physically, then they'll be able to say, look, proof, aliens are real. So you should fund us now more to deal with the aliens. Because I'm the X-Files.
And it just Yongeri just roared, and if it sounds familiar, that's because it actually used some stock roars from the Deadly Mantis and the Land Unknown. And then the ones that aren't stock roars are actually simply animal sounds.
He just goes through the tree.
I love
that.
Take a bite out of this, bucko.
Did your mama not give you enough attention when you were a tadpole? Oh, God, the lines in this movie.
And I love, like, he's like, Stop! It's too dangerous! Mr. Monster, I'd like you to meet my little friend.
Oh my god. It's so good. Yeah, there's like three titles. Chiaotzu! No!
Okay, I'm just now realizing there's so many parallels to Final Wars in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good double feature.
Oh, too bad we have Raigo in between.
Yeah.
Here we go, baby. This is the scene.
To history.
Oh, stop it.
Why, hello there, sir. Would you be interested in some cupcakes?
Look, now I love everyone.
Hi, guys. Why are you so small?
It's time for us to show that he's the good guy now. This is my favorite scene in the movie because it's extremely dumb.
Oh, look at the giant monster. Do you think it's going to attack us?
So,
it was it's a practical tale, but it's like superimposed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the humans are superimposed in the tale is practical.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Abort mission. So basically, here's what's happened so far in the movie. We had a random journalist who fainted after seeing it. More cities blow up. We have an old guy saying that there's aliens and a monster, and he's right. We have a woman who doesn't know. What is Holly doing?
She's hanging out with them for some reason. I don't know why. Oh, no. Oh, but don't worry. Young Gary's a good guy now.
He's basically Superman.
Beep, 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 beep.
And after... After
General, he's on our side now.
We must save him.
Then there's some other random people that join. And then after four attempts, they finally destroy the daemon. The one guy they set up to be the hero dies by stopping the daemon.
Yeah.
And now young Gary's a good guy.
Yes.
And they're returning to base.
Oh, we have the creature under control. No, you don't. It just stopped attacking and then caught a building. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I love their voices.
I know.
You know that these have to be something from Power
Here
Rangers.
Here we go.
Yeah.
They have one button.
It's the same button for everything.
Make my monster grow!
My god.
I love these miniatures.
Uh-huh.
I love these. Oh my god, why could we not get these? Like, seriously.
Well, at least one of those was straight up stolen from Independence Day. But then there's like all of this. This is just an actual prop city they made and then set on fire. And it's awesome.
And I love young Gary flying through the building in about 3 seconds randomly.
Oh, yeah. You get to see like actual like physical propped like creatures flying through stuff.
Smitty!
Stuff.
Smitty, what's wrong?
What are you doing, Smitty?
Wait.
So now we're getting some more awesome miniatures.
Yes. Hey guys, it's time for movie three. Did you like the first two or three movies? Well, now we've got another one.
Oh.
He had the most evil grin on his face at the time, too.
Yeah.
And so, before he appears, the other monster, Psycor, I believe that's how you pronounce it, has a length of 350 meters and weighs 100,000 metric tons. And he also has some weird tentacles that appear out of nowhere. You never get your screens back.
Hello, I'm British again. Oh, Tremors.
this guy's
filled with Fruity Loops.
The clock's clicking, General. I love that. Everybody's happy. Seven, four, five. And here
five,
we get
five,
some more.
Eight, three, 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 two, three, eight, five, five, six, one, 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 three, four. Wait, four. Thank goodness this guy was just here.
Yeah, he was just standing there waiting this whole time.
Beating up this old man. So they introduced a new bad guy, only to get rid of him also.
It's the same guy that said, "My pleasure, sir," earlier, isn't it?
No, yeah, but I mean, like, they introduced a new villain, and he is now no longer essential to the plot.
Because now we have our new villain, which is the giant monster.
Oh, that's the line, baby. This place is turning into a prehistoric petting zoo. His name's Cyclopix or something?
Psycor.
Psycor. Yeah.
He only has one eye. Well, a hole where an eye should be, but then they didn't CGI the hole.
According to some sources, in the release, there actually is no Psycor or aliens. My guess that would have been because of no budget left to spend on
Did
them.
Did it just end with, like, the guy slamming into young Gary's, like, crystal thing, and then everyone goes like, "Young Gary's on our side now. Everything's fine."
In the original movie, I guess Young Gary was evil and he dies at the end, but they also were going to set up a sequel, so I don't know how true that is. I can actually talk a little bit about the original cut now that it's just a asylum film fight from two monsters and people watching from a Argo jet, but on the ground, basically. There's the practical suit.
Nice. That was a really good scene.
It's got some good shots.
It is. It's like just, although I will say this, it's like a 30-lane highway that they're fighting on.
With nothing in between them. Like, there's no rubble on the ground.
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw this movie on television, I so badly wanted to get a Psycor figure, and I wanted to get the Young Gary figure.
There is a Young Gary toy. I don't know about Psycor.
There isn't, to my knowledge, and that ticks me off. We've got Pulgasari.
He's got some cool stuff. Oh, yeah, there is a Pulgasari figure.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that Pulgasari toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like, well, we're kind of commercializing this thing that caused a lot of suffering for people, but at the same time, what better way to, you know, celebrate this North Korean film than capitalism?
Hey, yeah. Well, there you go, I guess.
So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
And I love how, like, he started shooting at Psycor, and now he's like, well, I have nothing to do. And then young Gary just kind of ex machinas himself in the scene. Oh, my arm, totally not like Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. It hurts.
Oh, just like in my Japanese animes.
Okay, that scene where they just had young Gary tied up looks so much like Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. Or is it just...
Fight! Hit him!
You've got to fight!
Bad touch! Life. Bad touch!
Oh, no.
Oh, somebody was probably listening to the stream yesterday because that was my favorite thing to say.
Oh, now we got to give him electrical powers.
Yeah.
Why didn't they use this monster to begin with? He just has so many other, like the aliens. Why didn't they use that one instead of Yongary?
Listen. Hey, listen. You listen here, okay? I've got to go.
But, and there's some really, there's some really awesome model buildings in these shots.
Yeah.
Like, I love them. And there's the ruins from all the CG that's covering them. And I love that they just randomly give the monster.
He also has.
Oh my goodness! Decapitation!
Practical head!
Yeah.
I love how he just falls so.
At least it's all over. Everything's fine now.
Now we can all live happily ever after.
Ah, decapitation! Hey, calm down.
I'm coming to get ya. I don't see how this thing could survive anymore. I really don't.
That's so gross.
Someone's been looking at Rob's search history.
I don't want to talk about it. Oh, don't put that in your mouth, man. No. Ew, the slurping noise.
Space roach in disguise. Yes.
My God. What? Oh, there we go.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of mythology about, like, the fact that there's, like, an original release of this movie and then, like, the secondary release.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, it sounds like it wasn't like it was better. It wasn't like it was the prop suits. It was still CGI. It was just an unfinished movie.
Yeah, right.
The original cut did include more miniatures and suits. However, it mostly relied on what we've got here.
Well,
when the movie released in July 17th of 1999, it did break the record for the widest release in South Korea at that time, and I think it might still have that record. However, I don't know. The original ending was going to end with the reporter who was played by what was his name?
Are they going to bring Bud back?
Yes, Brad Sergi. The original was cut because Brad Sergi didn't want to stay in South Korea for another 2 weeks to film it.
Oh.
And he asked for more money, and they had already went over budget, so they were like, well, too bad, you're done. So the original ending was going to have him climbing this mountain. Then he would find more fossils, and it was going to set up a sequel called Young Gary 2, which would have had Mecha Gary as I've.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, whoa.
I mean, we still end with a cliffhanger, but like, yeah.
Which I really wish we could have seen that. That would have been cool. There is concept of the head.
Mecha Gary!
Mecha Gary? Absolutely.
Now, Rob did bring it up. The original version's yet to be released on home video as of this recording, which is quite unfortunate because it is apparently quite different in a couple of scenes. So that's sad that we don't have that. But apparently,
bring him out of the galaxy
until the sequel. That'll never happen.
Oh man! I want a Mecha Gary.
The random kangaroo plushie on the top of that.
Yeah.
So after the film came out. When it initially did, they decided to go back and reshoot it and work on the CGI a little more to the best of their ability. The reshoots began in December of 1999, which left it to this huge cliffhanger ending. Which this that line clearly says or means that like, oh, there's going to be a monster island of some sorts, probably.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, a South Korean monster verse. Yeah.
I was just thinking, Nathan, Young Gary was being brought to you.
That was actually in the works, believe it or not.
Ah.
Young Gary 2, and then there was a movie being made called Condor, which would have been directed.
Wow.
However, when this film came out, after its upgrade edition, it did so poorly that they trashed the movie Condor, canceled Young Gary 2, and then on January 20th, it came out in theaters in South Korea, and then 2 months later, on March 5th, it came out to VHS in the States, and I believe worldwide. And then 5 months later on DVD, and it was poorly received, which is quite sad that Young Gary fell out like that.
Mm. Well, that was a lot of fun.
Yes.
It really is. I think this movie is definitely one that I recommend to people to like hunt down. It is on YouTube currently, but I don't know how much longer that'll be the case. You can also find VHSs like of it just randomly in like like Goodwills and stuff like that. And then like I know they sell it on eBay, but it's always like $90 or something ridiculous. Ah, yeah, the DVD was at half price. Yo, I think it's a lot of fun because it's just like truly such a goofy like hammy movie. At Tokyo Lives, we call it like Trash Mountain whenever I find like a really bad movie that I want to force the other host to watch. And like, this is definitely one of those so bad it's good trash movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally is. Totally is. Now, on Kaiju Weekly, we rate movies out of Godzuki's because we love to embrace the silly side of the Kaiju world. And so we use Godzuki as our measuring stick for how we measure movies. So this, I would rate this surprisingly like a 3.5 to 4 Godzukis, but that might just be the djinn talking.
Okay, so like give me a scale here. So like so it's 1 to 10 Godzukis or 1 to 5 Godzukis?
1 to 5 out of 5. Okay. Godzukis, yeah.
So like 1 is like this is just a bad film that's hard to watch, whereas like 5 is like this is really funny and I like to watch it, right?
Yeah, well because I mean I I have yet to give any movie 5 out of 5, even like ones I really enjoy. I mean, that's basically, it's like we rate out of 5 stars, but we didn't want to use stars. We wanted to use Godzookies.
I'll say I'm going to go with 4.5 because I think it's so consistently enjoyable. The movie never drags and never gives you a chance to be like mad at it or bored with it, because it's like, even though the CGI is really bad and the plot is really bad, the narrative moves at a very consistent pace. The acting is bad throughout the entire thing. And even the like monster fight is super, super funny to watch. So like, it just consistently stays like at a level, you know, like at no point am I like, well, time to pull up my phone, or let me like wander off to go get like, get a new drink or whatever. It's just like, you're glued to the screen watching it. And that's why it's exactly like, it's The Room, it's any Halloween movie, it's, you know, it's like pre-released ads. It's just like constantly enjoyably bad.
Yeah, it was, like you said, consistently fun, silly camp through the whole thing. And I really enjoyed it. I'm going to probably do the same thing I did during my Giant Claw review on my podcast, which was I'll give the movie probably like a 3. Like regular Travis will give it a 3, but drunk Travis would probably give it a 5.
And I think that's one thing I really appreciate about the film is, like I said earlier, it's basically it's an amateur film at a large budget. And I don't know why, but I appreciate that even though it was destined to fail, they still were able to, put out at least what the director thought was the best he could. The writers also were very proud of what it was, which again, I'm happy that they weren't afraid to say that they liked what they had put out. You know, for a South Korean film, I think a lot of people judge it too much when it comes to the special effects. I think if the special effects were better, a lot of people would not hate it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the acting's bad. Like, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the acting, but it was like, it's like fun, bad,
you know?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Definitely.
I Rob, you were absolutely right. This movie, it started at a 6 and then just kept ramping up and ramping up, and it ended on like a 20. Yeah.
Like, as much as I would like to have like a movie where they redid the special effects because it's like, it, as much as I would like for a good, you know, VHS or VHS visual effects for this movie, I think that the poor quality of the effects still makes it enjoyable in a weird way. But yeah, like, if we got this with the Suitmation, or if we got this with like good CGI, yo, I'd be all about that. And like,
yeah,
I don't think it would detract from the hammy bad quality of the human acting if we could also thoroughly enjoy the actual, like, you know,
yeah,
movie, you know, like if you can enjoy the kaiju fight scenes, because like you can still enjoy them on like a funny level, but there are plenty of like Showa era movies where it's like, man, this is so hammy and goofy, oh, but the suits look so good and the fight scenes are great. It's, you know, so like,
right,
it doesn't quite hit Showa good, you know. But I think it is definitely like, well, it's a chef kiss good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, that's pretty much as much as I have to say about the film, I think. So if we want to go ahead and close out so we can start getting ready for the next movie in the marathon.
Yeah. So Kai or Rob, where?
Yes.
What podcast do you co-host, and where can we find you?
I co-host Tokyo Lives, a giant monster podcast where we break down, like, basically we go through the entire, like, story. We break down the narrative, the monster design, characters, and then, like, give our personal, like, feelings about the movie towards the end of each episode. And we recently started doing a smaller series called Tokyo Signals, which is all about me slowly watching, like, tokusatsu-y, like, TV shows. So each episode is, like, more condensed and focused on a singular episode of a show as opposed to, like, a big full movie. So it's a more bite-sized kaiju podcast.
Awesome. And definitely check them out. So far, they've been really awesome guys, and I'm happy I was able to work with them for this stream.
Thank you.
Travis, what podcast do you co-host, and where can we find you?
I am the host of Kaiju Weekly. We are a weekly podcast that covers the giant monster movies, and we just celebrate giant monster movies in all their glory, whether it be the really good ones or the really cheesy ones. So give us a listen. We're one of the few weekly giant monster podcasts, because so many podcasts are bi-weekly or once a month, and we kind of pigeonholed ourselves into being a weekly podcast that I'm regretting every week that I have to record a new episode.
it's like titling the first episode of a YouTube series episode 001 and then being like, oh no.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. That'll boost our ratings and help us get recommended to more people. If you don't have an Apple device, which I don't blame you, I don't. you can tweet us and follow us on Twitter at @Kaiju_Converse. That's KAIJU_CONVERS. If you don't have either of those, you can like us on Facebook if you want to contact us that way. Or if you don't have social media, which I understand, social media is kind of a hard thing to deal with sometimes, you can always email us at kaijuconversation@gmail.com. All lowercase, all one word. I think you get the idea. As always, we'll read your reviews on air when you leave them. I love constructive criticism, so that would be greatly appreciated. We also have merchandise on Teespring, and soon we're going to have some exclusive artwork going up there from a personal friend of mine. She does great work. If you'd like to chat with us one-on-one and hear our opinions on subjects, join our Discord server where you can talk to me or my mods or anybody on the server that relates to you and what you like. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the bell so you can be notified when we upload. Sometimes we do some weird, funny stuff there. Not really sure what it is yet, though. thank you guys for listening. Thanks to everybody in the chat who have sat here and watched Reptilian with us. It's a great movie. Go check it out if you haven't. And please remember, life's too short to not talk big.
We are set, we are in debt, there's nothing to sweat. Life's too short now, baby.
Kaiju.
To not talk big now, baby.
Conversation.
His name's Elijah, baby. And also Rex now, baby. We love those kaiju, baby. And you will too now.